Height. Michael is the Vice President of the Bear Valley Bible Institute and has a very interesting story. Both he and his wife, Lynn, were not brought up in the church. Mike had a Catholic background, went to a Catholic school as he was growing up, and Lynn had a Baptist background, but they had the providential fortune of running into Wes Autry. And Wes introduced them to the church, and the preacher at Bear Valley at the time, Don Cantor, spent many torturous hours trying to convince Michael and Lynn of the truth of the gospel, but once it sunk, it sunk. And so he is a product of the evangelistic effort at Bear Valley. Not long after that, Michael made the mistake of coming into my office to talk about taking one class. And that one class morphed into, why don't you come to school all the time, to why don't you come work for us? Michael had his own business. He was very successful in business as kind of an advertiser, graphic design, and had many talents in that area. And so this was something that, and I remember specifically as he's sitting in my office and I'm talking about coming to work for Bear Valley, he's going, Lynn is not going to like this. But I don't ever know how that conversation went. But next thing I know, he's agreed to be on board and has been such a good friend to me and a valuable asset to the Bible Institute. But one thing that has been one of the true joys that I've experienced in the years of being able to work with Michael is to watch his growth. From someone that his knowledge of the Bible, you could say, was flatline. I mean, it was practically non-existent, to where he is today. And the time and the effort and energy he's put in studying the Word is something that is very impressive and certainly worth emulating in your own life. And so we're honored this morning to be able to listen to Brother Mike.
I'm going to warn you, brothers, 30 days can change your life. It was 30 days from the day I walked into Denny's office to talk about taking one class to the day I walked in here full time. And so the Lord can do great things in a very short amount of times if you'll let him.
Amen.
Well, my name is Michael Height, and I am a learnaholic. I would like to tell you that I've come to this meeting to get rid of my learnaholism, but I'm not. I'm here to try to pass on my addiction to you. And, you know, when we really talk about learning, I got to tell you that learnaholism can change your life. It's such a powerful tool for you. And when we really look at what learning is about, you know, learning, the definition is it's the acquisition of new knowledge and behavior, skills, values, and understanding through experience, through practice, through study, or by being taught. But I want you to notice that first word in the definition. It's an acquisition. That means that you have to acquire it. You have to be the one that seeks out the learning. Your learning is not dependent on your teachers. Your learning is dependent on you. And if you can just get that in your head, life can change. Everything around you can be different. You know, we look at a small plant and we think to ourselves, what can this grow into? What can it be? Is it going to have a beautiful flower? Is it going to give some fruit that tastes wonderful? Could it be a massive tree? What can it be? The potential here is enormous. And if we take care of it, if we tend to it, it should grow, right? We expect it to grow. But what happens if you come back a week from now and that plant looks exactly the same? You might think, I wonder if something's wrong. So you feed it and you water it and you come back a few weeks later and looks exactly the same. You come back months later, 6 months later, a year later. You recognize that there's a problem there. Something's wrong with this plant. It's not doing what it's designed to do. Do we think about our lives the same way? Do we recognize that the people that are sitting in our pews in our churches, when they look the same spiritually, 6 months later, a year later, 2 years later, 5 years later, 10 years later, they're not growing. Something's wrong. There's a health problem. Something's not right. And so we need to recognize in our own lives that our health is determined by our level of growth. We're expected to continue to grow. And so today I want to share with you five benefits of learnaholism. I want to share with you five benefits of having a love for learning. The first is that when you love learning, it makes every day a treasure hunt. Now, when I put this slide together, I showed it to my kids, and my kids said, "It's a key. That's not a treasure. I mean, that slide really just doesn't say treasure. But what does the key fit? Where's the box that that key goes into? And what's inside that box?" See, so often we focus so much on the end result that we stop thinking about the journey that's going to get us there. And the journey is the learning. The journey is what creates the excitement in our lives. It's what can really make life a tremendous adventure. It creates a curiosity in us to say, where does this key go? What's inside that box? What does that treasure look like? And that makes every day fun. It really does. It makes life an adventure. My wife and I have been married for a long time. And we'll be driving somewhere and we'll get off the beaten path, or we'll decide to stop somewhere and we don't really know where we're going or what we're doing, and we'll almost simultaneously look at each other and say, "Well, it's an adventure." And that's made our life an adventure together. It's been wonderful to do that. And we've been able to see some things that we weren't intending to see. Just last week, we were headed for the top of Mount Evans. I'll tell you, we never got there. But we saw some gorgeous things because we were willing to explore. You know, this sentence, "Where will this take me?" can be a barrier or it can be a tremendous opportunity. There are some who say, "Where will this take me?" Until they can see the end of the road, they don't want to go through the door. But a learner's heart is going to say, "Where will this take me? Show me." You know, Wayne Berger isn't here this morning, but a number of years ago, early in my Christian walk, he came up to me and he said, "You need to come with me to Africa." I went, "Yeah, right." He said, no, seriously, you need to come with, and you'll teach and you'll preach and it'll be great." And I was like, "Yeah." Well, if you know Wayne Berger, the next thing I know, I'm standing in a hut in Africa with a Bible in my hand preaching the gospel. And what a tremendous experience I had. I learned so much in that 3-week trip. About myself, about my ability to teach, about my confidence in preaching. And it really changed everything. Prior to that, for me to get up in front of the congregation to preach scared me. When I came back, I told the guys, "If you want me to preach, just let me know. I'll get up anytime." It literally changed my ability to do that because I learned so much. But if I had looked at that door and said, "Oh, I'm scared about where this will take me," I would never have gone. We need to look at open doors as a sense of adventure, a place where we can learn things, a place where we can keep on growing. You know, it's kind of like the difference between reading and studying. My kids, my daughter and my wife especially, tease me about, "I don't pleasure read." You know, when I read something, I'm reading something to learn. I want to learn something. And my daughter's like, "You need to just pleasure read." And they do. They read voraciously. And there's nothing wrong with pleasure reading at all. But for me, the way my mind works, I get 10 or 12 pages into a novel and I'm like, "Well, this is good and all, but I want to learn something." So I go over here and I read something that feeds me. It teaches me something. When I'm finished, I've grown a little bit. And we've got to recognize that that's so helpful to us. That will teach us to move forward. You know, in what we do, Paul told Timothy to be diligent to present himself to prove to God as a workman, rightly handling the word of truth. That craftsman, well, a good craftsman is always getting better at his craft. He's always working to improve. There's always a new technique. There's always a new tool to be used. There's always something that we can do as a craftsman, as a workman, to learn to do what we do better. And so I love learning because I find new and exciting things everywhere I go. Number two, I love learning because it causes me to grow. You know, growth is a natural part of life. It's a natural requirement of life. When you have a child, you go to the doctor the first time, they give you this little booklet. And every few weeks when the child is a baby, you go back to the pediatrician and they chart the height of the child and the weight of the child on a little chart. And they they're looking to see if the child's growing appropriately. There's actually a syndrome called failure to thrive syndrome. And failure to thrive is diagnosed as poor weight gain and physical growth failure over an extended period of time. If the baby's being fed and is getting nourishment, but it isn't growing, the doctors immediately know something's wrong. Well, as Christians and as teachers, we can't afford to suffer from failure to thrive syndrome. Amen. We have to be those that are growing. We have to personally grow. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, he talks about the Christian graces. And we've heard sermons on them before. You're familiar with them. He talks about our faith, and in our faith supply moral excellence and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. All of those things are important. But we often stop before we get to verse 8. Because verse 8 reminds us that if these things are yours and are increasing, they prove you neither useless or unfruitful in the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's that true experiential knowledge, that experiencing Christ in our life in a daily way, that we receive through growing in these Christian graces, not just having them. Having them's not enough. He says quite specifically, having them's great. But are they increasing day by day in your life? Are you working on these things? Are you trying to improve your faith? Are you working on your moral excellence? Are you gaining more knowledge? Are you using more self-control? Are you growing? Certainly that needs to be the goal for all of us. But the bigger one is actually in John chapter 15, the first 11 verses. In John chapter 15, Jesus describes himself as the vine, and we are the branches in essence. And the Father is the vine dresser. And in that passage, Jesus says that as the branches, we are required to bear fruit, verse 2. But we don't stop there. When we bear fruit, the Father prunes us so that we'll do what? Bear more fruit. And then in verse 6, we're expected to do what? Bear much fruit. You see, that's a process of growth. But the scariest part of what Jesus said in John 15 is what happens to that branch that's not growing. That branch that's not growing will be cut off and thrown into the fire. I don't want to be that branch that's cut off and thrown into the fire. I want to be one that's growing. I want to experience that growth, drawing nearer to Christ, applying His principles in my life, bearing fruit for Him so that I won't be one of these branches that is cut off and thrown in the fire. I want to be one that strives to be what He wants me to be. I love learning. Oh, what happened there? I love learning because it allows me to grow. Okay. Third, I love learning because it makes me more usable. You know, I stand before you a product of my entire life's experience, and you do too. Wherever you are in your life right now, I don't care how young or old you are a product of your entire life's experience. The successes you've had, the failures you've had, all of those things shape you into the person that you are today. You have skills, you have abilities, you have talents that have all brought you to a point where you are right now. You see, that's part of our growth, is understanding that who we are as we stand before God and as we stand before you right now is a product of what we've experienced throughout our lives. And we can choose to be useful to God in using those talents and abilities for Him. In Jeremiah chapter 18, it talks about the Father, God being the potter and we are the clay. And I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to deal with pottery before, to actually throw a pot on a wheel. But I went to art school, and the clay that you get to do pottery with comes in a large cardboard box, and inside that is a plastic bag, and that bag is sealed airtight. And when you first open it, the clay is almost like really, really, really heavy mud. I mean, when you reach in and get it, it's very pliable. You can squeeze it in your fingers, and it will come out between your fingers. It's very easy to shape, and you throw it on the wheel, you start to spin it, and you start to work with it and shape it. But as young teenagers in art school, we would constantly be in trouble with our art teacher because we would forget to close up that plastic bag. And what do you think happens to that clay after about 24 to 36 hours of sitting in the air? It dries up. And it actually gets to the point where it's no longer pliable. All you can do is reach in and break it. And so much is true of that with our lives. When we don't allow God to continue to shape us and to continue to mold us, when we don't allow Him through our learning to continue to shape us into the vessel He wants us to be, we sit out in the air and we become very hardened. Our hearts become hardened. Our lives become hardened. And then when something dramatic comes into our lives, oftentimes we find ourselves that we, rather than bend or flex to the situation, we break. You know, and our lives break. But you know what you do in order to get that clay working again? You break it up into little chunks. You pour water in it. You let it sit. And then you start working it again. And over time, you can get that clay back to that original consistency that it came in the box. And that's what God wants to do with us. But in order to do that, we have to be willing to allow Him to shape us. Allow ourselves to learn from Him and to follow the things that He wants. To allow ourselves to really be molded by the Father. To be the clay that He wants us to be. Fourth, I love learning because it provides humility. You know, for some, knowledge puffs them up. You know, they get to a point where they feel like they know so much. And we've experienced it here in school with students. Students come here, I know a lot. Well, after the first few weeks, they realize they maybe didn't know as much as they thought. But a learner's heart, one of the great things about a learner's heart is you recognize how much you don't know. You know, as you look around, you realize there's tons more to learn. I sit at the feet with members of our faculty that have forgotten more than I'll ever know. That alone tells me how much more I have to learn. And I see so much out in the world that I just don't know. You see, that shouldn't cause us to be prideful about how much we do know. It should cause us to be humble to recognize the fact that we just don't know much. You know, Scripture is constantly reminding us of the need for us to learn, that there's more to learn. We've got to trust God to guide us in those things. One of the things it says is that we must learn to fear God. 5 times in Deuteronomy, it reminds us that we should learn to fear God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." It's the fool that doesn't want to be taught, who thinks they already know so much that there's no learning to be done. It's the fool that will sit in his own knowledge and never grow and beyond that. And that's not pleasing to God. We need to learn to fear God. We need to learn to do what's pleasing to the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, we need to learn not to exceed what is written. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. We need to learn to be content in where we are in life. Philippians 4, verse 11. And these things all suggest that these things don't necessarily come naturally to us. They are things that we have to learn to do. Our natural ability is to maybe not fear God, to trust in ourselves, but we need to look to Him. Our natural ability is to please ourselves, but we need to learn to please the Lord. All of these things can create a lifetime of learning opportunities for us if we will just focus on the learning and realize that it will give us the opportunity through experience, through practice, through study, through being taught to do those things that God wants us to do. You know, probably the greatest example of this to me is Paul. At the end of Paul's life, Paul is close to death at this point, and he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "When you come, bring the cloak that I left in Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments." Why does he need books and parchments? Isn't he an inspired apostle? Don't you think he knows enough by now? He's been teaching the church. Don't you think he's done with his learning? Apparently he doesn't. Now I can guarantee you he's not asking Timothy, "Bring me the latest bestseller. You know, I want to do some pleasure reading here at the end of my... I want to kick back and relax a little bit. I don't need the latest Harry Potter," right? He wants the books and the parchments. He's still studying. He's still learning. He's still growing, even at the end of his life. I pray that all of us are growing to the point where until the Lord calls us home. That even the last days of our life are spent increasing in our knowledge of Him and what He wants for us. That's a life well lived. That's a life that has loved learning. Well, finally, I love learning because it makes me a better teacher. Now, those of you that are in my class may not agree with that. I understand that. That's okay. But as ministers and as evangelists and preachers and as leaders, we have to understand that first and foremost, we are teachers. The church is a learning education organization. The Great Commission was given for us to teach all things to those that come into the church. We need to constantly be looking to teach. But I'm going to tell you something. As a teacher, if you individually aren't growing, you're going to have a very difficult time getting your students excited about their growth. You see, it's hypocrisy to stand before a congregation and say, "Grow, church, grow." They're not growing. I don't grow. I'm not growing, but I want them to grow. That's my job, to tell them to grow. I'm not studying. I'm not growing. I'm not doing any of those things. But every Sunday, I'm going to get up and tell you that you should be growing. You see, it becomes very obvious to students very quickly whether you're growing as a teacher or not. It bubbles over in enthusiasm. Students say that I geek out sometimes in class when I get excited about a particular topic. But the reason is because I was excited that I learned it, and I can't wait to show it to you because I want you to be excited to learn it too. It's fun. You know, when I preach, I've often said, when I preach, I'm just trying to share with you something that I just learned that was powerful for me, and I want you to know it too. And so as teachers, we've got to recognize that it's up to us to continue that learning. A few years ago, Bob Turner and I were working on something, and I showed him something, and I don't even remember what it was. I showed him some technology or some tool or something, and this was the text he sent me. He said, "I am constantly amazed at how cool and infectious learning something new is. I love this stuff." And that's demonstrated in Bob's life. He loves learning those things, and then he gets excited to share them with you. We should all strive to do that. We should all look to be infected by our own learning and infect others with it. I want you to become learnaholics. I want you to catch the disease. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, a passage that we are very familiar with, starting in verse 11. I want to read this to you, but I want you to listen to the growth that is expected as a result of having apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists within the church. He said he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints to the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Our job is to prevent people from failing to thrive. That's our job. And the Lord gave it to the church so that the church wouldn't fail to thrive, that it would continue to grow in knowledge. It would continue to increase. So what do we do with this little plant? How do we make sure that it grows? Well, we water it, we feed it, we tend to it. If there's part of it that isn't contributing to its growth, we take it off. But we have to have the perspective of we are the plant, that we need to grow ourselves. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning." Now I want you to notice very carefully, this is already a wise man, but he can be wiser still. This is a man who's already righteous. He's already following God, but there's more to learn. And we need to have that attitude that we are not so wise that there's nothing left to know. That we're not so righteous that there's no way to be closer to God and be more what he wants us to be. We've got to look to the opportunity to grow. And if we don't, what happens without growth? Well, without growth, we slowly wither and die. You see, we're either growing or we're dying. There is no in between spiritually. We think because on the outside we look fine, but inside we wither and die. There's no life. There's no fruit. We must be growing. You know, real learning, real love for learning drives roots deep into the soil. It creates a foundation that you can build upon. And I hope that you will learn to love learning. I hope that you will see that it will make every day a treasure hunt, that it will help you and your ministry to grow, that it will make you more usable for the master. It will keep you humble, will not allow you to be puffed up, and it will make you a teacher that the master can use to help his church to grow into the knowledge of Christ. That's what we're here for. I hope that you will become a learnaholic just like me. Thanks.
Amen.
Thank you, Michael. Let's be standing for the closing prayer.
Let us pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another wonderful day you have brought us once again. We thank you for the opportunity of waking us up this morning and protecting us when we were asleep. God, we could not ask for a better God. We thank you for Mike and you spoke through him this morning. Help us to be a learnaholic. Help us to be that kind of person in our lives and even in our own ministry. Help us to understand that we need to grow each and every day as we learn through your word and through many other things. Help us to learn things that we did not know and help us to apply it to our lives. Father, we ask that, we offer you a prayer of thanksgiving as John McComb finally got full support to do to go to Guatemala this October. We ask that you be with him and as he progresses through your work down there and help other people grow as well. Help him to grow as he goes down there with those who are also going down there. Father, there are many people that we may have forgotten on our own personal prayer list. We ask that you be with them and comfort them when they're in fear or in doubt. Help them to lean on you and not lean on anybody else. Father, help us to serve you and to serve no one else in our lives. We thank you for everything you have given us, even though sometimes we may take for granted, and we are so sorry. Father, we love you so much, even though sometimes we may not say it, or we may not love you by the things that we say or the things that we do, and we are sorry for that also. Father, be with each and every one of us as we are starting off this school year. The workload will come upon us and help us to always be on task and to stay ahead of our studies. We thank you for everything you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Don't forget your book. Don't forget your declaration support form.
Thank you, sir. Thanks. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
That's very good.